Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I am Josh and I am joined by my co-host Tobias. We are joining you 10 days since the last episode of the podcast. Yes, I know it's been a little while. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And I haven't talked to Toby since our last episode because obviously we had off from school for a little bit. I see you today as we're recording this Monday night. This will come out Tuesday morning. So,
yeah, it was so cold out. Oh, man. You know, it was a pretty good Thanksgiving. I'm sure you guys had a good Thanksgiving, unless some dangerous topics were brought up at the table. We're not going to touch on that, but, you know, Thanksgiving, it's either really good or really bad. You know what I mean?
Terrible.
Yeah. All right, let's dive right into it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I want to talk about how shit Randle has been, okay? Starting off with a strong point. He's averaging only 19.2 points per game, okay? And you might say, that's not bad. But he has been on a steady decline since the start of the season. He started the season, I think, averaging almost, what, 25 a game, right? And now he's just averaging only 19. This is a big decline from last season. And I understand that we don't need him to be that carry that he was last season, but he really hasn't been good at, like, lately at all, if I may say. And I think you can say that too. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to look back. He put up about 34 to the Bulls, put up about 20 to the Lakers, and those are most recent matchups. You go to the Suns, though, and he put up 9. Then
Hawks, like,
yeah, and then you go to the next one against the Hawks, our most recent matchup, put up 8. So I can see what you mean on the decline. That's also because players are stepping up, and they're stepping up for injured players as well, and, you know, we can go into that. We're seeing more of Quinn Grimes. We're finally seeing more of Obi Toppin. We're seeing more of Jericho Sims stepping in for an injured Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson. So, like I said, injury updates will be later in this episode. And we also have the my former co-host. You know, you've heard him for a long time on this podcast. Not that long. I mean, it's been 18 episodes. But for most of these episodes on the podcast, before we switch to All Knicks, Alex, Nets fan, unfortunately. Alex is going to be coming on in a little bit, and we'll be previewing with him the Nets and Knicks matchup coming tomorrow. But we still got a lot of talking to do first. So, yeah, Toby, continue with Randle.
And another point that I want to really harp on Randle is he's only shooting 33 from the line, from the three this year. Okay? He's 0 for 3 against the Hawks, 0 for 2 against the Suns, 1 for 5 against the Lakers, 1 for 2 against the Bulls. I mean, it's all right, but he really just didn't shoot at all. So, it's like, 2 for 6 against the Rockets. Like, really bad performances from the three-point line. And the way he gets his bucket is he drives and he shoots the three decently, right? He needs to be able to have that three ball so that people can't just, like, stop his drive like they can against other players. And that's what makes him so dangerous as a player. But he hasn't had that this year, and it's obviously impacting his points per game. You can clearly tell. And I mean, it's just going to keep affecting him. He needs to get that three down. And I think Toppin needs to get more minutes. He really, when he gets on that court, he brings the energy. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you see Toppin, everybody's standing up. You know what I mean? Like, when I was at the Knicks game during the dunks lines, Toppin hit, like, windmills, and everybody was clapping. And then for everybody else, they're like, eh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I think that Toppin has been a great addition to this Knicks team ever since he's been drafted last season. He brought it to the Knicks playoffs even last year when we played against the Hawks. Looked better than Julius Randle out there at some points, and I think he's even put in more work over the summer. Obviously participated in the summer league with Emmanuel Quickley, so I think they're both looking really good to go into his stats more. You talk about more minutes. You know, they've been all over the place. Since our last episode, the Knicks played the Rockets, Bulls, Lakers, Suns, Hawks, and the minutes went 15, 13, 22, 14, 16. So they're all over the place, but they're not getting over 25 minutes, I can tell you that much. And I do agree where it needs to be over that mark.
Yeah, and I mean, when he does come on, he really, like, re-energizes the team. I mean, I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. We have probably the best bench in the league right now, and that's what's brought us to these wins that we've gotten so far. And I think that with the addition of someone like Obi Toppin coming off the bench, you know, he's so good. I love him so much. I can't like begin to say how much I love Obi Toppin.
Have you seen that dunk? Remember, you know that one-handed dunk that he had against the Hawks?
Oh, with the Quentin Grimes assist? That was smooth. That was very smooth. And I was jumping out my seat on that.
The points he gets are really good because he's right under the hoop and no one knows he's there. And he does a lot of alley-oops, and I think that's just like it really helps us get like – Yeah, we don't need to have the opportunity. I mean, second chance points is great, right? It's coming off of like either mid-range or three-pointers where the power forward or center most likely will get the rebound and they'll go up with it. With Obi Toppin, you don't really need to even have that as an option because you throw it up to him for an alley-oop, he's 99% of the time
throwing
it down.
There is no second chance. Yeah, exactly. And another thing I want to say, he's always first one down the court. You know what I mean? That's the reason he gets these alley-oop opportunities is because he's so much – like, he's down there, he brings that energy that he's so much further down the court because he's hustling, that he is alone in the backcourt sometimes, and he just gets free dunks, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. I think that what he showed in this past game, after 16 minutes, having two rebounds, two assists, but the main 13 points, 13 points in 16 minutes, that's something to show off, so good for him to do so.
Yeah,
and I know I'm kind of bouncing around as we have like the bullet points set up organized, and we've kind of gone on that way so far, so I apologize for this. I don't even know if we have this down, but IQ, Emmanuel Quickley, getting the minutes he deserves as well, a lot of minutes, and we'll get into the big news really out of the day. Everyone's writing the articles on it. Kemba Walker is now not involved in the Knicks rotation, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about due to the injuries of Derrick Rose.
Wait, I have a question. I thought he was just not starting. He's still involved in the rotation, no?
He's out of the rotation right now.
Wait, fully?
I do believe so. I mean, take a look at it right now. Kemba Walker, and we should have known this before we came on, but you should have.
Okay. Don't talk to me. I thought he just, the way he does. Okay. You know what? I mean, not even a bad thing. He's had it. Okay, if you look at Kemba Walker, he's a good attacker. He's a good finisher. He's got some good handles, but he's only averaging 11 points a game, and that's not what you want to see from him. And aside from that, he's got a terrible plus-minus when Kemba's on the court. When Kemba's on the court, I'm 90% sure we have like one of the worst plus-minuses in the league, and when he's off the court, we have one of the best. And that just shows how badly defensively he is and shows Thibodeau's mindset. Defensively, we win games, and he understands that. So he takes him out of the rotation. That's smart by him.
Yeah, it is smart by him. And so I was right. And that's why, I mean, Toby, we were, what? I don't know what you said. I might have to cut that out if it was something really that bad. But anyway.
It wasn't.
Okay. So, I mean, that's why everyone is writing articles on it, obviously. So, New York Knicks, I'm just going to read this part from the ESPN article written by Tim Bontemps, I hope I'm saying that right. But Bontemps, I don't
he's
know.
He's not listening.
Anyway, he's not listening. Anyway, New York Knicks Coach Tom Thibodeau told reporters Monday afternoon that he's removing guard Kemba Walker from not only the team's starting lineup, but also the rotation as a whole, beginning with Tuesday's showdown with the crosstown rival Nets in Brooklyn. Quote, "It's a tough decision to make, but you always have to do what you think is best for the team," Thibodeau said after practice Monday in explaining his decision. Quote, "I view Kemba as a starter, and so it'd be tough to play three small guards together. I gave it consideration. I've got great respect for who Kemba is as a person and all he's accomplished in the league, but I have to do what I think is best for the team right now." In this case, Thibodeau decided that that meant benching Walker in favor of Alec Burks. Walker, a four-time All-Star and New York City basketball legend, returning home this past summer on a two-year $20 million deal after being bought out by the Oklahoma City Thunder following a trade from Boston. And Burks went off for 23 and 39 minutes on Saturday's win over the Hawks, game where Kemba Walker didn't even play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just shows it. And I mean, our starting lineup just hasn't gelled, and I think if you're Thibodeau, you have to switch something up. And when Burks started last night against the Hawks, it looked really good. And, I mean, our starting lineup is like one of the most useful five bands in the league, and it has been outscored by 15.6 points per 100 possessions. That is really bad. With what would be the NBA's worst defensive rating, 118.9. I mean, it's terrible. And when he's off the court, we're outscoring teams by 11 points per 100 possessions. I mean, we have to understand, and Thibodeau does, that Kemba has not been the player of past this year. And, all right, that's fine. Bench him, okay? He's got to work on his game, and maybe he comes back by the All-Star break, maybe sooner, I don't know. But we got to see. We got to see how we're doing. And, I mean, it's a big talking point for the Knicks right now, and it's a big decision that Tibbs has to make.
And it's funny because Tom Thibodeau and Kemba Walker do go way back, on their respective teams in the past, and they have really good friendship. As we know, Kemba Walker, when he was mic'd up for, I believe, the Celtics game, first game of the season, he's a really nice guy. He's a really kind and nice guy, and him and Thibodeau has a really great relationship. I want to ask you now, Tobias, kind of transitioning to the second half of this, Alec Burks. Normally, the size and frame of a shooting guard / small forward, but has at times, last season, this season, in clutch areas, more like the fourth quarter, right, in times where we're trying to come back.
Yeah, even
in the playoffs, has ran point. Not so much maybe him. I think it's more Tom Thibodeau installing that, but it also could be the Knicks five who are on the court at the time saying, hey, you're going to run point. What do you think about that? Do you like Burks running point? Do you not like Burks running point? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I like it a lot because when you looked, I liked it a lot defensively more than I did offensively. I feel like, if anything, it should be Randall running the point offensively, going back to what we did last year. But defensively, it was really good because, sorry, as you saw yesterday for the Hawks game, when we lost that series to the Hawks last year, Trae Young was burning us with the pick and roll and the picks. I can't speak right now, of course. And this year, when we played them, we were switching off the picks, and we were able to switch off the picks, and we really limited Trae Young's game and his passing game because of it. And it worked really, really well. I mean, we won the game. We only held them to, 80-something points. And I think it's going to help us out defensively in the long run when we can switch off pick and rolls like that with Alec Burks because he has that size. You know what I mean? Because he has that size, he can guard maybe a small forward, maybe a power forward, probably not a center. But again, we're not expecting him to do that. And it really helps our versatility a lot when Kemba plays defensively. I mean, Burks plays defensively.
I want to go now to Knicks stats afloat after start to their tough stretch.
State afloat. I missed that.
Yeah, you really did mistype it. I misread it. So I was just going to send it to you anyway. Toby, you wrote this bullet point in. What do you got for this?
I mean, so far, we've as we harped on last time, we have a tough stretch ahead of us. And through these first four games, we're 2-2. We beat the Suns. I mean, we lost the Suns team, a really good team. I mean, they went 15 straight. I didn't expect us to win that game, and neither did Josh. We lost to the Bulls. They're a good team. We're 1-1 against them. Nothing you could do. I mean, we beat the Lakers. That was a bit of a bad game because they didn't have a full health AD. They didn't have LeBron, and we still only managed to beat them by 6. But I mean, a win's a win, you know, you gotta accept it. And that Hawks game was a really good game. I mean, we played great and we won. So I'm happy about that too. So far, I mean, 2-2. We gotta see for the next 3 games, then the Nets, Bulls, Nuggets.
You didn't even mention the Hawks in that, by the way.
I did mention the Hawks.
You said the Lakers and the Bulls. You didn't even talk about the Hawks.
I just did mention the Hawks. 100% I did. Someone's not paying attention.
You're wrong, but okay.
Maybe I didn't. All right. Anyways, as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted. We got to see as we go through these next games. Nets, Bulls, Nuggets, Warriors, Bucks. I mean, these are 5 tough matchups that we've got coming up. And we got to see how well we can do in these next matches.
So the next thing I think we should mention here, and we'll send it to, you know, our talk with Alex in a little bit, is that the Knicks are getting help with injury troubles. And I want to go through the injury report now and just kind of we talk about that a little bit. So the centers is really lacking. It's Taj Gibson is right now out with a groin injury. He's considered questionable for Tuesday's game against the Nets. And then Nerlens Noel is day-to-day with a knee injury, and he's also considered questionable against the Nets. Right now, it's been a Jericho Sims and Mitchell Robinson kind of duo on the court at the moment. It is what it is for right now. It's been Robinson getting the more minutes closer to the higher half of 20 minutes, so 25 to 30, and then Sims getting the lower half of that, like 20 to 25. For what it is, it's good to get Sims more minutes. I think he's doing okay with the time that he's, you know, the time that he's getting. He's doing what a rookie is. He's improving as I think the days go along. And then when it comes to the other injuries, let me just read this real quick, Toby, and then you can step in. It's RJ Barrett right now who's day-to-day with an illness. He's listed questionable for Tuesday's game against the Nets. Doesn't seem to be COVID-related, though. And Derrick Rose, we know about that. He's also out with an ankle injury. Yeah. He's also considered. So what's good is at least they're all considered questionable. They're not out long-term of like a certain amount of weeks or a certain amount of months or even a year.
Yeah. But I mean, it is a problem, though. We're not going to have a lot of depth in these next games. These are going to be even harder to win for us, especially in this tough streak they're on. I mean, like the Knicks, like we know we have depth, but this amount of like injuries is really like screwing us over, you could say, you know what I mean? It's been tough for us. I mean, not much we could do though, I guess. All right, and then the next point, can the Knicks compete with top level teams? I mean, like, and when I'm talking top level teams, I'm talking like the Suns, the Warriors, the Nets. Can we do that? And that is what I'm asking you right now. What do you think we can, and why or why not?
At the moment, no. I don't think the team looks as good as they did last year. I don't have the same confidence as I did in the Knicks team from last year. At this point in the season, again, it's still early, but this Knicks team is 11-9. And I'm going to be honest, we have a showdown against the Nets, and it's been more aggressive and, you know, just the whole rivalry of having two good teams in New York. This is the most feud between the Knicks and the Nets in our lifetime, and even our parents' lifetime for that matter, because when the Nets were in New Jersey, it wasn't that big of a deal. There was just like, okay, we respect each other, you know? But in the same division, it's just two teams. But now it's the most feud between both teams in a long, long time, and that's why we're going to have Alex on. But for me, I'm really nervous for that game. Because you know that we're going to get all the shit from friends and on Twitter by Nets fans if we lose that game. And especially if we get blown out in that game. And I could see either of those situations happening.
I mean, have a little faith in the Knicks, man. Come on, man. You're going to get blown out? Like, come on. I don't think we're going to get blown out. I mean, I understand, okay, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, this is the game where we prove ourselves. We compete against top-level teams. We got beat pretty badly by the Suns, and the Suns are a really good team, but aside from that, we've played good against every other team, and I guess we'll find out because we play the Warriors soon. We're playing the Nets on Tuesday, tomorrow, as we're recording this. And we'll find out if we're up to the standard of competition that these top-level teams are.
Yeah, and let's go to our next five, and then we'll send it to the...
Wait, do you want to maybe do the next five with Alex or not?
No, because he's a Nets fan, so...
Okay.
That doesn't really help out. Please don't use as many expletives, Tobias, as I know you want to right now. But anyway, as I go through the record here, I am 6-9 or 69. You know, that's a good.
And I'm 8-7, baby. You trust in the? I don't even know. You trust in me, baby. All right.
Trust in the not Philadelphia 76ers process, and Tobias will get you through there. So let's go through our next five. And since you do have the winning record, I think we should do that. Whoever has a winning record leads us in the top in the next five games. So
Nets, I'm going for that W, baby. I obviously have much more faith in our team than this loser. But yeah, W.
I'm going loss, as he kind of already indicated.
Yeah. Because he's. And then the Bulls game, I'm going in L. You know, we can't keep up like this winning streak for too long because we are still the Knicks.
Away in Chicago, lost the last game against the Bulls. I think it's similar in this night's and whatever night it is matchup. I don't know what day we play them. It's Thursday. Sorry.
Yeah, and then the Nuggets again away. I think we can pull out a win here. The Nuggets haven't been too impressive this year. Jokic has obviously been good, but I think we can still ink out a W here.
Nuggets, similar record to the Knicks right now at 9-10. They just lost to the Bucks by a close score. We were able to beat the Bucks, so, and we also lost them. I don't know. I have another loss, as you know, Tobias says I'm the Debbie Downer of the Knicks, basically.
He is.
So, but I have them winning the next two, so, ha ha ha.
I do too. I mean, I gotta have faith in the team.
Faith?
I don't know.
Faith. Okay. Faith. Yeah. There's a TH in there.
You just didn't have to mention that at all. You just didn't have to. That was so unnecessary.
I'm sorry. Little homestand. Spurs. Pacers. Toby, Josh, both wins in both of those games. We will keep you updated on our next five score predictions and how bad or how good we did next episode. And when will that episode be? We'll figure it out. So yeah. just
keep the noties on, man.
Yeah, seriously, keep the notifications on. You can actually see at the top of your feeds on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to this podcast when we do post a new episode. So we'd really appreciate if you can turn those on. Maybe we do it on Sunday, just because I'm looking, and after the 1 o'clock game against the Nuggets, they're off until Tuesday, so maybe we record it Saturday night, release it Sunday, or record it Sunday, release it that day. All right, well, anyway, we'll figure out, you know, when we'll record next, but let's send it to our talk with Alex. Knicks, Nets, preview tonight, when you're listening, hopefully. Welcome back to the City That Never Sleeps podcast, episode 18. So as we mentioned in like the intro or the other part of this episode, Toby and I basically said that the Knicks-Nets rivalry is the biggest it's ever been in our lifetime and probably our parents' lifetime as well. When the Nets were located in New Jersey, there wasn't really like a big rivalry. Once they moved to Brooklyn, still not really that big. But Nets got a few all-stars. Knicks got an all-star in Julius Randle. Alex won a minute, but he is one, or he was one last season at least, and then we don't talk about this year. But anyway, with both of these teams being good, the rivalry is at the highest point it has ever been, and we will see a showdown tonight if you're listening on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Knicks-Nets. And with that, I want to bring on my former co-host who's been with me for the last... For the 15 episodes, I want to say, before you... I have to look at it. But anyway, Alex, welcome back. How's it going?
The disgraced co-host is back. You know, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to talk about this game. I will say, I think the rivalry is more... I'm not dissing you guys, but I think it's more built up in Knicks fans' heads than it is in Nets fans' heads.
You know... I'd say the exact opposite about this rivalry. I feel like as a Knicks fan, I don't really view the Nets as our rivals.
I don't view the Knicks as the rivals either, though. Like, when I watch the Knicks, I'm like, if they're not playing the Nets, I'm rooting for the Knicks.
Yeah, that's not true. I'm never rooting for the Nets. But that's
that's the difference, though. You guys have pure hatred for the Brooklyn Nets.
It's not like that. It's just because you guys build super teams, and you guys think you're good because you can build a super team, and you can't build from the youth.
I mean, years before we put together the big three or the big two, I mean, we had plenty of youth coming through, but
big two now because you don't have
this. I know.
And I want to say, Josh, I got Alex in class to say that Randall is better than
Is totally not true. I did
I
not
got
admit
him
that.
To say
I
Randall
said
is better.
Whoa, okay, stop cutting each other off. Tobias, go.
Randall is better than wait. Who's the guy who doesn't want to get the shot?
Kyrie Irving.
I got him to say Randall is better than Kyrie in class. I just want to mention that.
What I'm going to say is I said that. I said, yeah, of course he is, because one's on the court and one isn't. That's basically what I said.
No, you also said, look at the numbers. I told you, I showed you the numbers, and you're like, yeah, I can admit. Right now, Randall is better than Kyrie. I distinctly remember you saying that.
Julius okay. Randle, though, I will say, is the main man, right? Kyrie's the third man, if you think about it. Or the last man at this point.
Kyrie's the man on the couch right now, if we're talking about mans.
I heard recently that he's not going to play at all. Like, he's just going to skip this year entirely, right?
I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, the Nets are rolling without him. We're rolling, so.
First round exit.
At least we'll be in the first round.
We will too, trust.
With that, let's get some organized conversations going here. Alex, with the Nets being, like you said, doing very successful without Kyrie Irving, 14-6 in the regular season. Let me ask you an honest question. Does this regular season mean anything, or it's all about standings, like where we're going to go into the playoffs with?
I mean, if you look last season, I think if you get into the playoffs, that's really the main thing. I think the regular season is really just practice for the playoffs, at least particularly for the Nets, even for the Knicks by some standing, because obviously I'm joking. I think the Knicks will make the playoffs. But, you know, I would say it's not really that important. It's more about getting your guys in a rhythm, trying to find out who's your, you know, who's the best for you in your rotation. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but you know, with the Knicks especially, I think you guys have some stuff to, you know, kink out with Julius Randle. Obviously, there's the news about Kemba. I'm sure you guys talked about that earlier. But you know, the Nets and Knicks, I think we're both trying to, you know, kind of find our groove. Both kind of had odd starts to the season, where we started. Well, the Nets kind of started poorly, starting, I believe, 2-3, and then kind of got on a roll from there. And then the Knicks started very well, and then have kind of gone downhill since then. So both teams are really just trying to figure it out, and I think that's what the regular season is going to be for.
And yeah, I mean, the Knicks even are still trying to figure out their starting five. You know what I mean? We just benched Kemba. Who's going to be the next point guard? Is it going to be Burks, or is he not going to play point guard after an extended period of time? Is it going to be Quickly? Is it going to be Rose again? Like, we're trying to figure out the stuff too. And I feel like, yeah, I agree with you. The regular season isn't so much making the playoffs, because for us and the Nets, I think both teams are going to make the playoffs.
Toby, I wouldn't even incorporate ourselves in that, though, because right now we're in seventh place. We're fighting to stay top eight.
And I understand that, but I think team-wise, I think we have a better team than some of the teams ahead of us, and I think we will make the playoffs. I think we might get a lower seed. That's fine, but we will make the playoffs, and that's all that really matters.
But I would also argue there are some teams below you that I think have better teams. I mean, if I'm looking at the standings, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, you gotta pull that up right now, buddy. So let me say it.
But like the Sixers, I think are better. I think the Celtics are probably better.
Sixers are better without Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons. I was about to say I think you forgot, Alex. Ben Simmons isn't on that team anymore.
I mean, Ben Simmons didn't do much for that team even when he was playing.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
That's
there.
Very much a lie.
On the offensive end of the floor, at least.
He was
still
very
much a lie.
Yeah, that is... No. You are off with this one.
Worst takes I might have heard, Alex.
This is why I'm the disgraced co-host.
And Alex, do you think the Wizards or the Hornets can keep up their success and keep it sustained?
I think the Hornets are a better team than the Knicks. if LaMelo keeps it going and Miles Bridges keeps playing the way he is.
Alex.
But, yeah.
Sorry. Let me just step in here.
I'm trying to move past my take here. I don't want to go
2017-2018 season, he started 81 games, almost had 16 points per game. In 2018-2019, 79 games played, had almost 17 points per game. In 2019-2020, had almost 16 points per game, or had more than 16.4 points per game, and he had 14.3 points per game in the 2020-2021 season. And that just shows. Ben Simmons made an impact on this 76ers team. If you don't think so, then there's something wrong with you. Ooh, burned. But anyway, Alex, I do want to ask you a question because you are on here to talk Nets. Mm-hmm. So you talked about how they're, you know, it's really just preparation for the playoffs for the Nets. So talking about the playoffs, whether it's in Eastern Conference, Western Conference, is there any team or teams, plural, that scares you? That scares you as a Nets fan?
The Warriors, for sure. I mean, the West is clearly stronger than the East. I think we can all say that pretty fairly over the past couple years, at least. When you're looking at the West, for sure, the Warriors, the Suns, obviously the Lakers are always going to be involved with that big three as well. But besides that, I wouldn't say anyone particularly scares me in the West. Besides that, I think in the East, everyone's sleeping on Milwaukee. I think they're going to end up finishing the one seed in the East. I think they're the best team in the East. And I if I were being honest with myself, I'd assume them to go back to back, would be my guess if I had to give a prediction right now. So I think the Bucks are not someone you want to match up with. And the Bulls are not exactly a great matchup either for the Nets, I don't think. And the Bulls have been starting off strong. And obviously they have a lot of talented players. They got good depth. I don't think they're better than the Nets. I think the Nets could take them in seven games for sure. But I think the only team in the East that could stop the Nets, I would say, is the Bucks. I think the Bucks would be able to beat us quite easily, quite handedly.
What? All right, Alex, and I understand that, okay? But what happens if one of these older players on your team, we could say, like Harden or KD, gets injured? What happens then if he has like a season-ending injury? What happens? Do you think you can still make the playoffs? Do you think you can still even compete for a championship spot? What do you think? Can this be a one-man team? And if not, why?
If James Harden goes down, I think this team will make the playoffs for sure. If Kevin Durant goes down, not sure. I think Kevin Durant is the key to this team, obviously. I think we can all be honest with ourselves. I think James Harden's going to get better as the season progresses. I would say if one of them does go down, it's definitely going to be tough for the Nets. I do say either way, they'd make the playoffs. It might be tougher to beat a team like the Heat or the Bulls in that case, but I think you'd still probably get through the first round, maybe, depending on who you're playing. But yeah, if one of those two goes down, it would be tough. It would definitely be tough.
You think you could get through the first round? I mean, we're looking at the East. You said there's a lot of good teams in the East, and I agree with you. And let's run through the East, and let's see if you think the Nets could beat a team without Harden, we'll say, okay?
Without Harden? Okay.
Without Harden. Do you think they could beat the Heat?
No, not without Harden.
The Wizards?
Yes. Bucks, yes, for sure. Bulls, no.
Wait, Bucks, yes.
Bucks, no. Sorry, I mixed up my words. So, Heat, no. Wizards, yes. Bucks, no. Bulls, no. Hornets, yes. Knicks, yes. Hawks...
You seriously think you could beat the Knicks without Harden? Do you actually
think I think you guys are underestimating Kevin Durant.
Okay, Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant, but he's one player. What happens when the bench comes on? Do you think he can play 48 minutes every single game?
I'm not saying that, but in a playoff series, I think he could definitely, you know, push it.
We saw
James Harden, you know, playing literally on one leg last season against the Bucks, and Kevin Durant was literally carrying the team against the few, you know, the incoming champions.
What do you think, Josh?
So Tobias is going to get mad at me. I know. He often again calls me the Debbie Downer of the Knicks.
Here we go again.
Let me speak. I think without James Harden, the Nets could very much still beat the Knicks. Now the Knicks need to again. they're not the first round team that we saw them before the first round of the NBA playoffs. We don't talk about that against the Hawks. But from what we saw of the Knicks in March of last season, right? That's the Knicks that I want to see again. Now we're missing, I know, like the players, you know, like Reggie Bullock, but you know, it's okay, right? If the Knicks can figure this stuff out, whatever the hell is going on, the, you know, the matchup, the, yeah, we have some addition, we have some rookies, we have some second year guys, we have some injured players. So if we can figure that out, I think we can. But for right now, looking at it right now, Knicks play the Nets tomorrow night and Harden's out. I still think the Nets can win. I want to say that.
Wait, Harden's out?
No. If Harden's out, a hypothetical.
Don't give me a heart attack right now, Tobias. Don't do that. Don't
anyway, Alex, my question for you is, obviously, I know you watched the game against the Suns, a loss for you guys, just like it was a loss for us, and they continue their winning streak, 113-107. I know you watched the game, like I said, because you texted me every single freaking 5 minutes how the Nets were making another comeback. Well, they didn't win.
But yeah, we didn't end up making the comeback. It didn't work out. But
KD did drop 39. And so I just like to say, what are your thoughts, you know, kind of rebounding from that game?
First, I want to hit on the Suns. I think the Suns are a team that are definitely in it. We saw them go to the finals last year, and I think a lot of people are like, hey, maybe that was a fluke due to the injuries on the Lakers, etc., with Kawhi and the Clippers. I don't think so. I think that's a really solid team, and there's been the rumors circling about them possibly trading DeAndre Ayton for Cat, obviously something else with Ayton as well. And I think that would make them serious, serious contenders.
And you mean Carl Anthony Towns by that, because not everyone knows that he's Cat.
Sorry.
But this 16-0 run that they've gone on, it's been really, really good. And they've beaten some really good teams. You think they aren't finals contenders the way they are right now? I mean, they beat the Nets.
No, I said they're finals contenders. For sure they are. They're definitely up there.
Are they favorites is what I'm asking.
I'd still say the Warriors are the favorites right now. I mean, you can't count. I mean, they're playing the best in the NBA. Followed by them, it's probably the Suns, and then probably either the Bucks or the Nets, I'd say. Bucks for me, but I'm sure some other Nets fans would say the Nets. But yeah, I thought they were really good. In terms of how we're playing, DeAndre Bembry has been really good for the Nets. He's going to be someone you want to keep an eye out on the defensive side of the floor and on the offensive side of the floor. Obviously, we lost Joe Harris, so we need some guys to fill in. Bruce Brown did a good job last year, and it kind of seems like Bembry is going to be kind of the Bruce Brown of this year for the Nets, really putting in the hard effort that I'm not going to name names, but a certain somebody on the floor for the Nets that we need to make up for on the defensive side. I really like what he's doing. LaMarcus Aldridge has been dynamite from the mid-range, and defensively he's been very good as well. So I'm satisfied with how things are going right now for the Nets. I think we lost to a good team, so I wasn't exactly, you know, furious at the situation, but it is interesting. Obviously, Blake Griffin came out today about the comments of him not being in the rotation anymore. Obviously, right now it's just Claxton. Claxton's out right now, but it's mostly just Aldridge as the big, and then we kind of go small, whether that is bringing in Millsap or someone else. But I would say this team is definitely worse than it was last year. The bench pieces are just not as good. Players like Jeff Green who are gone, it really hurts the depth. Players like James Johnson and Javon Carter are just kind of not cutting it for some of the players we had last year who I thought just did a better job off the bench. But besides that, you know, I'd say Kevin Durant's playing the best he's ever played in his career, and that's saying something. So I don't really see a problem as long as the bench is the weak spot for the Nets. And if the starters can get it going enough and the bench, you know, doesn't lose us, you know, that many points while they're out there, then I think we'll be okay. But that's kind of the key I look for the Nets.
And it's crazy because the Knicks' weak spot is almost the starters and the bench is their strong spot. You know what I mean? Like, I think they would match up really well in a series because when the benches of both teams come on, the Knicks can start to make that run that we've seen almost all year. And I think it would be a crazy, almost a really good game a seven game series when we do finally play, and we'll see a preview of it tonight. I mean tomorrow night, and it's gonna be a fun game to watch, man. It's gonna be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it is. And Alex, so you know, obviously, you're familiar with the Knicks roster and the players and how they do play, because I know you watch Knicks games from time to time when they are on, and you're friends with us, so you kind of have to know, you know, because you hear from us all the time. So I'm going to give you the Knicks injury report. We talked about this in our part of the episode here when we gave everyone their, you know, the Knicks updates. They have a lot of players that are injured. So all these players, though, are listed questionable for the game on Tuesday, so it could bring a huge shift to whoever is playing and not playing. RJ Barrett, day-to-day. Taj Gibson, or I'm just going to read them because you know they're all questionable. RJ Barrett, Taj Gibson, Nerlens Noel, Derrick Rose. So this is kind of a two-part question. The first part is, do any of those players that I just mentioned, like, if they play, do they, like, oh, you know, this could be a closer game than I expect. I know you probably think Nets win. So that's the second half of my question. Toby and I, at the end of every episode, or, well, normally at the end, but we do our top five, or our next five. I keep on saying top five. Our next five, where we predict the next five games. Tobias, you had a win. I had a loss as a Debbie Downer, quote-unquote, Knicks fan. So the second half of my question is here. What is your prediction? Knicks win? Nets win?
Well, obviously, the GOAT Taj Gibson is questionable, and that, you know, if he ends up playing, that's going to be a big thing for you guys. As much as I'm joking, I'm also not, because he plays very well for you guys. RJ Barrett, I think, has been disappointing this season. I don't know about you guys, but when I've seen him, it just, like, it seems like he doesn't have the same hunger that he did last season. You know, he hasn't gamed, you know, in certain games, but it just felt like he's just more going through the motions on the court. Him and Julius Randle, really. I've kind of taken a bit of a downtick since last season. I wouldn't say any of them really like make the game any different, because I think, like Tobias said, the bench also is very good for the Knicks. So when you have guys filling in, whether that's Obi Toppin for Barrett, maybe, you know, those guys are playing well. So I wouldn't really say it affects it that much. In terms of my score prediction, it's going to be a tight one. The Nets have always kind of kept it tight in these wins for them. If we're being realistic, I'd say, well, if I'm being realistic, I don't want to like curse the Nets here, but I will say, I think the Nets are going to win. I think I'm going to go 103-99. I don't know if you guys do the like score predictions, but I just gave it to you anyway.
We just do the games, but I mean, okay. This is like a specific game we are having you on, so it makes sense. Toby, I just want to get your final thought on something that Alex said. He said that RJ Barrett isn't as good and has the same hunger as last season. I disagree. That's just because we're Knicks fans, obviously, Knicks podcast. We watch more. Whatever. He almost has 15 points a game this season, almost 6 rebounds and 2 assists. Your thoughts on that, Toby? Because I don't think he's really lost his
game. I mean, RJ Barrett has been up and down. He's been really good and aggressive certain times in the season, and then sometimes he just has these off games where he just doesn't even show up to the court. I mean, Alex is half right, half wrong, and I think he definitely he could improve again, because, again, RJ Barrett is definitely one of the better youngsters in the league. And I think that maybe later in the season we start to see his form get better again.
All right. So with that, go follow us on Twitter at TCTNSOfficial. You can go to ShipItStudios.com/CityThatNeverSleeps. That's ShipItStudios.com/CityThatNeverSleeps. And with that link that you just typed in, you can see all of the links and all of the places you can listen to this podcast. So we really appreciate you listening. Please subscribe. What Toby said earlier, actually, is that, you know, keep your notifications on, right? So hit that subscribe button and you get notified whenever we drop a new episode. You know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify are the main two. I know we are on some other places, but you can find that on the link. But yeah, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you listening, and we will see you next time for another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you, Alex, for joining us. Thank you, my co-host Tobias, for joining me once again. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Go Knicks.
Peace.
Go Nets.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an Avius movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All Avius Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.